Hello, and welcome to the Beautiful Business Podcast. Beautiful Business is a community for leaders who believe there's a better way of doing business. We believe beautiful businesses are led with purpose by people who care, guided by a clear strategy, and soulfully grown. I'm your host, Ewan Sang, and I'm very lucky and grateful to have the chance to chat with James Sangto in this session. James is the CEO and co-founder of We Make Change. We Make Change connects skilled volunteers online with social enterprises across the world to enable anyone, anywhere, to use their skills to support the causes they care about. Since launching, We Make Change now supports a global movement of 25,000 changemakers, 700 social enterprises, and 10 companies in over 100 countries. So James, when we say supporting local communities, what does that mean to you?
I think to most people, communities are geographic. So they think of local as in those people and communities that are close to them. But in an increasingly globalized world, where actually we're sometimes more connected to people halfway across the world than we are to our next door neighbor, I tend to think of communities more generally as they can be communities that are locally geographically, but they can also be communities of interest. And those communities can be interests as diverse as, you know, sport is one of the key ones, you know, art, amongst other things, even things like gaming as well. But for me, one of the biggest and most powerful areas of communities are cause-based communities. So people that care about climate change, wherever they are in the world, have a common cause that they share, regardless of the geographical boundaries that split them. And so when I think about local communities, whether it's in business or personally, it's about identifying and linking yourself and your organization to those causes that you personally and organizationally most care about.
It's so interesting, isn't it? And I fully agree with you. And to your point about having these kind of commonalities and the common threads, I think communities is really a reflection of what the connections that humans have, right, as people. And as I said, they can kind of coalesce around different interests, different causes, different values, and things like that. But an interesting point that you just said there about how there's been this atomization of communities, driven perhaps by digital and internet and connectivity and things like this, that means that communities don't have to just be in a localized area. They can be spread right around the world, which I think is a wonderful thing. But at the same time, it can also paradoxically isolate people as well. Are we in danger perhaps of ignoring, is perhaps too strong a word, but and even is neglecting, but do we sometimes overlook our local community, or do you feel that there's sometimes a danger of that happening?
I think absolutely. From someone who grew up in a relatively rural village where you'd walk down the street and everyone would say hello to you, then you go into the big city and then suddenly no one seems to say hello to anyone apart from those that they're intimately aware of and, you know, have deep friendship connections with. I think one of the biggest issues that to some extent is a root of many issues that we face in society is that sense of a lack of connection to people within our local vicinity. And again, it can be as small a thing as literally saying hi to someone on the street to show a degree of familiarity and politeness. But in addition to that, I think it's also about caring about some of those causes that are also very local to you. And those can be issues which are faced by yourself as well as your neighbors and, you know, people in the local area. And I think particularly in a world where, as someone relatively young, who's grown up in a political environment which is very much polarized and also focused on very big issues, it almost makes it seem as though we're powerless to change anything, whether that be on a global level when addressing issues like climate change, or whether that be on a local level and ensuring that people can access everything they need, whether it be healthcare or food or anything else. And I think one of the reasons that we also face so many of these big global challenges is because we are not addressing some of the key social and environmental considerations locally as well. I think there are a whole range of reasons for that, which we could go into. But I think that's a really, truly is at the root cause of so many challenges that we do face. And with people being increasingly mobile as well, that degree of atomization and sense of not really having a place can make it even harder for people to overcome that and also be part of the solution as well.
That's such an eloquent way of putting it. I think that's absolutely right. The sense of belonging, I think, is such a powerful one. When I went on honeymoon with my other half, like, we went to Bali, and a lot of the people that were local there, they have intergenerational living in houses. And that sense of community, that bond is so strong. You can almost sense the contentment that they have as a life, as a population, as a society. And it holds up a bit of a mirror, as you say, to society that we're more used to over in the West, in the sense that, you know, with all the political turmoil, with the polarization of opinions, it's quite difficult to feel that sense of belonging, in that you're either with us or you're against us in many senses. And that polarization doesn't do anything for that cohesiveness of a local community. Whereas, as I say, with those simple things, that acknowledgement, that hello, those connections that you make as you're walking around the street, and the people that you might see at the school pickups and things like this, the little things which almost kind of transcend that political positioning of these sorts of things. It doesn't matter what your political colors are, and if you're helping people that are in need, if you're doing something good for the community, so on and so forth. Whereas I feel like we almost lose sight of it sometimes with the social media age and the digital age, of all the benefits the internet and its connectivity has brought. It's also brought such profound problems, I feel, as well.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's the great paradox of the age we live in, is that we have all of the skills, resources, and technology that we need to address the challenges the world faces today. But what is preventing us from addressing them, or frankly, even making some of these challenges even harder to address than they already are, is this sense that there is a true disconnect between people and place, and people and purpose, and people and opportunity to actually enable themselves to be part of the solution, or to actually find some of the solutions that are there to help address some of the challenges that they might face personally as well. And that is the true paradox of our age, and almost the greatest irony of, again, our globalized society.
It really grinds my gears, and I often think of this a lot, that, you know, some of the brightest minds of the world, and instead of trying to solve, well, hunger, climate change, peace, or all these kind of things, all these huge problems are facing us as a species, they're being leveraged to generate clicks, you know, and generate money or shareholder value. And that in itself is really upsetting when you spend too much time thinking about it. I want to move on perhaps a little bit more kind of upbeat, but tell us a little bit more about what you do at We Make Change and how you enable people who have a will to make change and to make a difference, and what you do to help them do that.
Sure. So at We Make Change, we connect skilled volunteers with social enterprises changing the world. And the way that we do that is that we enable individual volunteers to go onto our platform. They can identify the causes they care about, skills they've got, and time they can give. And they can find projects run by social enterprises addressing every challenge you could think of, everything from climate change to reducing inequality and everything in between, and volunteer their skills online to truly make an impact. And we also enable corporate professionals to volunteer their skills to support those social enterprises through our Change Day online volunteering events, which give companies an opportunity to provide their employees with the chance to utilize their skills to address the challenges the world faces today by really supporting inspiring social entrepreneurs with scalable solutions to some of these challenges. And one of the reasons that we even started was because there are so many people who I came across as then a younger professional who wanted to use their skills for good, but didn't know how they could. And on the other side, you've got these organizations with amazing solutions to these challenges who find it so hard to find those people with the skills that they need to grow their impact. And by connecting the two, so bridging that disconnect, we're able to enable those individuals to make the change they want to see and enable those social enterprises to grow and scale their impact towards those causes as well.
That's pretty cool, James. That's like proper superhero stuff. I guess one of the big challenges that social enterprise and not-for-profits have is around that financial sustainability part of it. One of the challenges that they face when they have the financial sustainability challenge over them as well is around people, is around skills and bringing people in from that sort. So I guess what We Make Change does is it helps, as you said, bridge that divide. It helps enable and skills and capability to come into these social enterprises when perhaps they might struggle to bring that type of capability in. And we'll talk a little bit more about the individual side, and then let's talk a little bit about the corporate side as well, because I'm really fascinated to know what do you see when you see people that have got professional skills? You mentioned yourself as a young professional. What do you see drives them in terms of their motivations in order to help social enterprises? Talk us through the typical kind of people and what gets them over that inertia that we all have where we just say, oh, I would like to do something, but I don't have time.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of this comes from my own personal experience because I was in that position where I wanted to use my skills for good, but found it so hard to find an opportunity that supports the causes that I really care about, uses the skills that I have and am looking to develop, and also fits with my schedule. And for most people, so to give you a stat, 90% of people want to volunteer, but only 25% actually do. And what are those divides? One of the biggest is a lack of opportunity or lack of being able to see the opportunities where they can use their skills, support their causes within the schedule that they have. So part of getting over that inertia is no longer the fact that do people actually want to volunteer or not? They really do. Almost everyone, which seems crazy because a few years ago, that certainly wasn't the case. Now the inertia is, well, actually, how can I do it? And for a generation of people who are globally connected, often highly educated in different ways, in different skills and in different formats, we all do have time, but often it's how can we use it? So the idea behind We Make Change was to provide people with volunteering opportunities that are quite outside the traditional type of volunteering, which is typically inaccessible, has to be done in a physical location. It's often very inflexible, has to be done within specific hours. And finally, it's often very low skilled. So it doesn't actually use your professional skills. So the idea behind We Make Change is to enable people to use their professional skills, whether that be graphic design, marketing, writing, research, or anything else, and be able to use those skills with anything from, you know, 2 to 4 to 8 hours a week to support social enterprises as well. So even though those individuals might think of themselves as relatively time poor, they are very skill rich. So the idea is that if you can provide people with the opportunity to use those skills in a very short amount of time and super flexibly, so it's all online, you can do it almost whenever you want to. And again, it's using your actual skills. You can help people overcome that sense of inertia. And again, because we're globally connected, those opportunities can be anywhere in the world with social enterprise anywhere. And those individuals can be anywhere in the world too.
Interesting. So that's really, really cool, James. An old client I used to work with as well, I used to talk about leveraging time. And to your point about a lot of volunteering opportunities in the traditional kind of sense, people will be familiar with, oh, we'll go and paint a room, you know, in one of the locations, or we'll do a litter pick or something along those lines. All perfectly honorable, positive things to do. But as you say, but relatively low skills, it is just a time thing. I spend one day cleaning up a beach, it's just one day's worth of stuff to come out. Whereas on a marketing perspective, if we were able to create a campaign or reach 1,000 people with that time, then it's just how well we leverage that time. And it sounds like the We Make Change model allows for this type of leveraging of skills that would otherwise be lost. Because as I say, the other interesting part that comes off this, I imagine, is going to be the degree of impact. It comes back to leveraging, doesn't it? As you say, and putting a new lick of paint onto a room at one of the locations for a charity might make it look nice, but that's almost as far as the impact will go. Whereas I imagine where volunteers can leverage the skills that they have, the impact is quite profound comparatively.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I'll give you two opposing models of impact. So again, like you say, that traditional sort of volunteering that particularly lots of corporates do, you know, it has its place. And of course, it can be absolutely great. And it can also fit what organizations want to do and what works for them. But to give you an idea about how big of the difference the impact can be is if you're a company, you know, and you've got a, let's just say 20 employees who are going to go around and paint a school. It's like, okay, well, that school could buy in contractors to do that, a few hundred pounds plus in order to get those people in to do that. Now, a team of 20 employees at many companies, the amount of value that they can add to a social enterprise through the work that they do is multiple. I'm talking 10 times plus the value that they can provide through painting a school. And that comes in two ways. Firstly, it's because of how much a social enterprise would actually pay for those skills if they could afford to, is part of the value. But the additional value is that those social enterprises, which I use as a term to include nonprofits and also for-profit businesses, but all focused on making social impact, is that they can leverage those skills, to use your term, to multiply their own impact. Because if you're working on a marketing strategy, that could help them to reach, you know, thousands of new people, multiply their audience, which can enable them to have such a greater impact and also scale ultimately their solution at the same time as well. So you go from having children who might now be in a nicely painted school to thousands, tens of thousands of users who now might have access to an app that's helping young people find educational materials for no cost, but now has the opportunity to grow even further. So the value that those individual employees can provide is in that social impact. But ultimately, personally, they also get the sense of accomplishment because they themselves have had this multiplication of their own impact literally through a few hours of their time.
It's fabulous. And it's really good. And I imagine, again, the people on an individual level that you work with on the volunteer side, the rewards, the satisfaction of seeing your time, your effort, and the impact that it has must be, again, a big driver. There must be a positive side to it.
Absolutely. The main reason people volunteer is to make impact.
Yeah.
As crazy as that sounds to some people, it genuinely is why most people do it. Okay, additional benefits are it can help to develop your skills. It can help to improve your CV and also can help to build your network. But ultimately, the key motivation comes because people want to make impact. And that's partly because for so many people in their day-to-day jobs, they don't feel that sense of purpose that they're really driving for through the work that they do. So if on the side of their day-to-day job, which pays the bills, they can volunteer and have that sense of purpose that's really driving the way, to some extent, they can get the best of both of those worlds.
That leads us really nicely onto the corporate side of things, because I think the world of work has changed, how our relationship with people has changed with work and what we do and the concept of work. And I don't think this is like a shot in the dark or an unexpected change. I think there's been a generational shift in terms of this kind of relationship, and economies generally have kind of matured and moved on from where we were 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. So our relationship with work has changed massively. And with that, a workers' agreement with employers. And now, as I said previously, when people are asked what are the main motivators for staying in a job or moving to a job, money and remuneration has just been sliding further and further down that scale, and going further and further up is an alignment of values, an alignment of, you know, purpose, and part of that and how an organization can express its purpose, can express its values, is through the work that it does and the organizations that it might help. And I guess where some organizations might find it challenging might be, you know, perhaps they don't have a purpose or an impact output as an organization. And so there has to be other ways that we can express that. And I imagine this is another key benefit from the We Make Change model.
Yeah. Well, when I was at business school, I was told that the purpose of business was to maximize shareholder wealth. It wasn't a theory. It wasn't a hypothesis. It was fact. And as you can imagine, someone just going to university, you take it as fact. It seems strange, but okay, that's what they tell you. It's written in the textbooks. People much cleverer than you who have been cited far more times believe it to be true. But then when I came to graduating and went through the process of learning about a whole bunch of things outside of business, I started to realize that actually that is a philosophy. Business could exist to maximize shareholder wealth, and some businesses do. Now, increasingly, to your point, more businesses are focusing, well, actually, what is our purpose as an organization? And in this area, one of the things which I think many businesses are struggling with is it's not only defining their sense of purpose, because actually a lot of companies now have, you know, got their own ESG or corporate social responsibility agendas, but it is how do you put that into practice? And for most companies, that is not, their business is not impact. Their business is making money. So one of the ideas behind what we do for corporates is about saying that you might have that incredible CSR agenda, or you might not, but you know that you as a business should have a sense of purpose and want to make impact. And you definitely know that your employees want to. So what we enable them to do is basically come to us and they tell us what causes they want to support as a company or what causes their employees want to support, sometimes different things, what skills their employees have, how many of the people they want to have engaged, And then we host these online volunteering events, which we call Change Days, where those employees are matched in teams with a social enterprise where they can volunteer their skills online in literally just 4 hours to support those social enterprises with a specific challenge that they face. So that could be developing a marketing strategy for their next campaign. It could be help putting in place legal frameworks so that they can ensure they have the legal foundations to grow their organization. It could help support their founders through executive leadership and everything else. And the idea is that in just a few hours, you as a company and the skills that your employees have can make a truly incredible impact, but only if you give that opportunity to organizations like ourselves and others that know how you put that purpose truly into practice.
I had this conversation just the other day, actually, as I'm meeting with a board of trustees from a local charity. And that was one of the things that came up, I think, was we were talking about impact. And this comes back to what we talked about just earlier on, James, about the difference between painting a room versus the longer term impact. And I think this is the point, isn't it? It's around with these organizations that have got CSR agendas as part of their operations, they need to have a way of measuring it to make it meaningful beyond we spent 5 hours painting the walls or things like this. And it sounds like these kind of challenge days or these change days, stories that you organize with them, we make change and gives them an opportunity to do that. If anything, it almost translates quite neatly into more business commercial vocabulary almost in many senses. It's taking the skills that you've got, which is already in a context that you understand, and applying them in an impact environment.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the key things that companies need to understand more is that it's about leveraging the skills of your employees is often the most impactful thing that you can do as a company. Of course, there are, you know, amazing organizations and companies out there with these huge foundations that can donate lots of money. And that's also great and definitely needed. But the thing coming down to employees as well is that when you look at what employees really care about and want to do, is that it's through these types of initiatives that you can give employees the opportunity to be part of your sustainability agenda rather than just hearing about it. You can also give them the chance to develop their own skills because they're put in an environment which is totally different from their professional one, but they're still using those professional skills in a very different setting, which gives them the opportunity to use them and develop them in a very different way. Finally, in addition to actually making some real impact, is that it gives them an opportunity to engage together as a team. And when more people are working remotely than ever, it's incredible when you get people in a room who are focused on a very specific challenge, but also have that sense of purpose, they can really rally together and not only showcase their abilities, but showcase to their other colleagues how much they also care about these issues and how much as a team together they can achieve in a very single day. It's super, super powerful. And honestly, I kind of wish we could just deliver these to everyone so that they could see the level and scale of impact that they can make. So I think it would transform how people think about their own jobs, their daily lives, as well as what they might do on the side of that through volunteering or otherwise.
Hearing you talk about it, Jen, it sounds like the business equivalent to a superfood, like blueberries and goji berries and stuff like this. When we talk about it in this context, it just feels like and sounds like a no-brainer. Yet the reality is, as you say, in the context of a volunteer, 90% of us want to do it, yet only 25% of us actually do it. So there's 65% opportunity gap there. Nearly two-thirds on a personal level. I imagine there are similar numbers when we take it up to the corporate level. But I do wonder whether or not you see this as much if people come to you, they've already overcome that kind of internal inertia again. But do you feel that there's almost like a commercial balance that needs to be achieved for businesses before they can realistically engage with organizations like We Make Change? Do you see there's almost like a tide mark that they need to overcome?
I think to some extent, it's that type of thinking of we must be commercially viable first before we can think about purpose. That is the short-term thinking that's got many businesses, but also the world into the mess we're in. Because ultimately, if you're a business now and you're not purpose-led, you are going to be at a disadvantage, whether it be in terms of hiring employees, getting customers, or growing your social media following, to make it as basic as that. And so many businesses now are starting to use purpose as the key driver for their commercial aspects. In many ways, that's ultimately what we do. we exist to make impact, and we ourselves earn revenue because we enable companies to enable their employees to do so too. So I think now the key thing is about, rather than thinking about profit versus purpose, it's how can you leverage profit to fulfill your purpose? Flipping the script entirely so that ultimately everything that you do, including your commercial viability, is focused on what your purpose is as an organization. And for many organizations, that might be cause related or specific. Some organizations have got very, you know, close links to particular things, whether it be supporting refugees or addressing environmental issues. Or again, it might be leveraging your employees and their own desires to make a difference to actually identify what that purpose is ultimately going to be. But again, I think companies now more than ever seeing that purpose is ultimately their route to success rather than something that they do on the side with the profit that they're otherwise making.
That's really interesting. And certainly the circles that we move in, certainly the clients we've been looking to work with, I think fully align with what you're saying there. But I do still think it's a change. And I think, as you say, the traditional sense of thinking, how people have been brought up in terms of education, in terms of degrees, and as you say, companies and limited companies exist to drive value for shareholders. There is this a shift in mentality that needs to happen. But it brings us right back to the beginning. And we talk about connections, community, and things that we coalesce around and we hold on to. And you see how powerful that is from sports teams and bands and music tastes and all these things that where people come together and they're naturally brought together on these sorts of things. And it's just logical when you look at it from a business perspective, you'll naturally bring people to you. Even if it, as I say, if it's not a purpose output business, if you're a graphic design agency, if you're a coffee shop somewhere, whatever it might be, but if you have your purpose at your core, then you're going to naturally attract people from a customer base and also from, as you say, from an employee base that align with those kind of purposes as well.
Yeah. And one stat that I'll also throw at you, which I think is indicative of how there's also a disconnect between a sense of purpose the business has and also the reality of it, is that only 14% of paid employee volunteering time is actually used. 14%, 1/4. So in other words, what we're saying is companies are providing employees with really, in some ways, incredible amounts of volunteering time, often 2-3 days throughout a year for individuals to use their skills. But when so few people are using it, it's actually, as a company, you should be thinking of, are we really living up to the purpose that we state? And of course, in that other 86% of people not volunteering, there are a whole bunch of reasons. But often, again, one of the issues is not being provided with enough opportunities to do it that fit within the confines of the schedule that those employees are often given. And again, as a company, one of the things that you can do, to your point, is that ultimately a company is a community. And it's a community of generally highly skilled individuals. The one thing is we don't typically think of them as communities because often they're brought together not by a sense of purpose, but by a need to put food on the table. And if you really thought of your business as a community and as part of a broader community, whether that be in your local area or more broadly linked to some of the key purpose or causes that you yourselves are linked to, then you would start to think, well, actually, how can we ensure that 100% of that volunteering time is used? Because ultimately, as a community, it's good for our society as a whole. It's good for our employees. And ultimately, it will be good for our bottom line. I don't like making the argument that it's good for your bottom line because it's literally the right thing to do. But I think in the words of Robert Kennedy, where he said that ultimately, it's economically advantageous, but it is the right thing to do. Sometimes you have to win the argument on both fronts to be able to make it happen.
Thanks so much, James Sancto from We Make Change, for sharing your stories, your experiences, and your passion on how we can all be making a positive change in the world. Thank you for joining us for this week's Beautiful Business podcast. Beautiful Business is a community for leaders who believe there's a better way to do business. Join us next time for more interesting discussions on how businesses can bring about change, helping communities, building a fairer society, and safeguarding the planet. You can also join in the discussion at www.beautifulbusiness.uk.